Great Scott. It's time for the Geek News with J-Stu and K-Stu.
News team, assemble!
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this week's Geek News. I'm sitting here in the studio with the lovely K-Stu.
Hello.
And we got some news for you right now. And once again, we have to start on a sad note. Marshall Wallace, the Emmy-winning actor, comedian, and writer, died a few nights ago of complications from breast cancer. It was a week shy of her 71st birthday. It was a disease that she had fought for nearly 30 years, having first been diagnosed with it in 1985. She had a high-profile role as the secretary on the Bob Newhart Show in the 70s, and, of course, her most popular character was Edna Krabappel, the teacher and foil of Bart Simpson. She appeared on The Simpsons for over 200 episodes, actually.
Holy crap.
Yeah, Wallace's death is a significant blow to the series. Even though Krabappel didn't appear on every episode, she played a significant role in the world of The Simpsons. The Simpsons began in 1989 and had recently announced that it had planned to end the life of a veteran character. Producers previously killed off Ned Flanders' wife, Maude, in 2000. Producer L. Jean said that Mrs. Krabappel was not the character they had planned to eliminate. Earlier we had discussed a potential storyline in which a character passed away, Jean said. This was not Marcia's Edna Krabappel. Marcia's passing is unrelated, and again a terrible loss for all who had the pleasure of knowing her. So, The Simpsons, whenever an actor or actress have died in the past, their character has been eliminated. They haven't used them again.
Yeah.
Good example is Phil Hartman. They never used Lionel Hutz or Troy McClure ever again when he passed. And the lady that did the voice of the lunch lady, they got rid of her, too. They didn't bring that character back. So I'm wondering what they're going to do here. Are they going to make Ned Flanders a two-time widower?
Guess they're going to have to.
I guess there was a bunch of episodes done already, so they might not even get to this till next year. And it already had been renewed for next year as well. We reported on that a couple weeks ago. So that's sad. Didn't know she had won the Emmy for the award where Bart was trying to fix her up with the fake suitor, and he used Gordie Howe's picture.
Yep.
So, yeah, she won an Emmy for that. I remember her on the Bob Newhart Show. My parents used to watch that.
As did I.
So that's sad. But, you know, our thoughts go out to the family. So, on to happier news. What do you have for us?
Christoph Waltz has been cast in Horrible Bosses 2. He'll appear with Chris Pine, who we announced last week had joined the cast, as new bosses in the film. They'll be playing a father-son duo who will be horrible to the trio of Jason Bateman, Charlie Day, and Jason Sudeikis. An official release date of November 28, 2014 was also given to Horrible Bosses 2, and along with three main actors, Jennifer Aniston, Jamie Foxx, and Kevin Spacey, will reprise their role from the first film. Production will begin the first week of November.
That's cool, because I think last week I was wondering if Jennifer Aniston was coming back.
You were.
So, that's awesome. And wouldn't it be funny if Jamie Foxx and Christoph Waltz had some scenes together? Do a little Django Unchained reunion?
Sure.
That's pretty cool casting, though. Him and Chris Pine. He's been good in everything we've seen him in so far.
Yes.
So, that'll be interesting. And congrats to Jason Sudeikis. His girlfriend, Olivia Wilde, is pregnant.
Yay.
So good for him.
Yay to the Sudeikises. No?
Yeah, I seriously miss him on SNL this year.
Too soon?
No. Well, we have Star Wars Episode 7 news, and I'll get your opinion on this in a second, but Lucasfilm has announced that Star Wars Episode 7 director J.J. Abrams and Raiders of the Lost Ark writer Lawrence Kasdan have taken over screenwriting duties from Michael Arndt, who was the Oscar winner for Little Miss Sunshine and nominee for Toy Story 3. He had been previously working on the story for the last year. The movie is still slated for release in 2015, but no firm date has been set. Lucasfilm said the current plan is still to begin shooting in spring of 2014. I don't see how they're going to do it that fast. Lucasfilm President Kathleen Kennedy characterized the change-up as a positive in her statement, in which she said, "I am very excited about the story we have in place and thrilled to have Larry and JJ working on the script. There are a few people who fundamentally understand the way a Star Wars story works, like Larry, and it is nothing short of incredible to have him even more deeply involved in its return to the big screen. JJ, of course, is an incredible storyteller in his own right. Michael Arndt has done a terrific job bringing us to this point, and we have an amazing filmmaking and design team in place already prepping for production." So do you think this is bad news, or they're just touching up the script, or... I mean, they are thanking the guy for getting them this far.
Yeah.
I just didn't think that was a very good sign when I read that the other day. And I don't understand how they're going to get a Star Wars film done in less than a year when it's always taken three.
Magic?
They haven't even cast it yet. Or if they have, they're sure keeping it secret. So, I don't know. The thing that still keeps me having faith in the project, Lawrence Kasdan, of course, not only wrote Raiders of the Lost Ark, but he wrote Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi as well. So, I mean, it's in good hands there. But anyhow, what else do you have for us?
Let's see. Director Adam McKay has revealed that an alternate version of Anchorman 2 is in the works. McKay stated, "We did so much improv on this one that we can literally replace every single joke in the movie and put in alternate scenes and alternate improv runs. I think the editor's working on it right now with 250 new jokes. I think it would be really funny to put it in theaters for midnight showings. This wouldn't be like Wake Up Ron Burgundy 2 or anything, but rather a completely different cut of the sequel itself. Wake Up Ron Burgundy was a film that was edited together using footage shot for the first film that ended up on the cutting room floor. More than just a line-o-rama and alternate takes, this was an entirely different movie with some ties to the plot of the original film." And that was released with the DVD.
Yeah, it was a bonus DVD. I remember we went out and got it, and yeah, it's like there's stuff similar to the original Anchorman. But there was a whole plot line about bank robbers and stuff like that that got cut out. Amy Poehler had a part in that that got cut out of the original. So it's not like they're filming a different movie. It's the same movie with different jokes, which could be interesting. I'd like to see that.
Of course.
And we just saw the trailer this last week, and like one of the funniest scenes in the trailer is one of the scenes that's been cut out of the out of the theatrical run. The scene where they find out their coworker is gay and they keep thinking he's a vampire. So that's cool. I know we're gigantic Anchorman fans and we're looking forward to it. All right, and my last story here. Ben Kingsley has revealed that he's working on a new project with Marvel Studios, following his performance as the Mandarin in Iron Man 3. Here's what he had to say. "It's a secret Marvel project. I'm not allowed to say any more. You're going to have to wait and see." This is something he stated while promoting his latest film, Ender's Game. "I was with many members of the crew that were involved in Iron Man 3. It was lovely to see them again. It was great to be with this wonderful family." So my guess is a Trevor short for when the Thor movie comes out on DVD, maybe. Maybe they reveal that your idea for the movie is true. Maybe he really was pretending to be Trevor and he was really the Mandarin.
Maybe.
I know there's an Agent Carter short on the Iron Man 3 trailer, or DVD. So, yeah, maybe they're doing a Trevor movie for Thor. That'll probably be out in the springtime on DVD. And you like Trevor?
I did like Trevor.
He was funny. Like, a lot of people were angry about that, but I thought it was cool. So, I mean, that's cool. I like these little shorts that they do. Definitely the Coulson ones were great.
Indeed.
And then we're about a week and a half away from Thor 2, actually. Thor the Dark World. Pretty excited. I can't wait. Anything else from you, K-Stu?
Yeah, one last story. It's about 50 Shades of Grey. Author E.L. James has confirmed that Jamie Dornan is set to play Christian Grey in the film adaptation of her erotic best-selling book, 50 Shades of Grey. Dornan steps in for Charlie Hunnam, who left the film on October 12th.
Yeah, I looked at his IMDb. The only thing we would have known him from was the first season of Once Upon a Time.
Yeah.
He was the sheriff who got his heart ripped out, I believe. I didn't recognize him from anything else. He's a fairly new actor. He hasn't done much. Have you looked any information up on him? Do you think this is a good choice?
I am not a fan.
No. Charlie Hunnam decision would have been better?
I guess. Ian Somerhalder is the choice. The end.
Yeah, you weren't...
Stop putting other people in this project.
You weren't alone in thinking that. Reading a lot of people wanted him or Matt Bomer in the role.
I don't think Matt Bomer's big enough.
No.
Like, physically. Ian Somerhalder. Like, the whole time reading the books, Ian Somerhalder was in my head. He's definitely my Christian Grey.
Okay. Well, they should start filming that shortly. So that'll be cool. And speaking of people that need to get big for roles, Ben Affleck has started working out for Superman Batman. So just wanted to point that out there, as I am the defender of Ben Affleck.
Yes, you are.
All right, well, that's the news. When we come back, we have the box office and some birthdays, so stay tuned.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
Sketchbook Comics and Games is a store that has something awesome for everyone. In addition to selling comics, board games, and action figures, there are tables for open gaming. Wednesday nights, Sketchbook features game night starting at 6 p.m. Friday through Sunday, Sketchbook is the place to be for Magic the Gathering. The store is located at 224 Glenridge Avenue, Unit 9 in St. Catharines. Come on down for all your geek and comic book needs.
All right, welcome back to this week's Geek News. So we're going to get the lovely K-Stu to run the box office past you.
All right, so number one this week, kind of a surprise, Bad Grandpa with $32.1 million. I didn't think that many people would go see it.
Yeah, I thought the Jackass thing had run its course.
I guess not.
It looked funny in the trailer.
Oh, it looked hilarious, but not $32.1 million hilarious.
No, not at all, not at all.
So what do I know? Number two spot was held by Gravity, which so far has made $200 million domestically.
That movie's kicking ass.
Yep.
Sandra Bullock in space.
Number three, Captain Phillips.
Still holding on there, eh?
Holding on. Number four, The Counselor. This was its debut week. Don't know much about this movie.
Never heard of it.
Let's see.
Oh, Brad Pitt, I think, is in that one, maybe.
Brad Pitt. Michael Fassbender, Penelope Cruz, Cameron Diaz, Javier Bardem.
All right.
Rosie Perez.
I heard someone mention it on the radio. That's how I knew Brad Pitt was in it.
A lawyer finds himself in over his head when he gets involved in drug trafficking. Ridley Scott directed it.
Oh, okay.
So, there you go with that. So that came in at number...
Four.
Number five, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2. Number six, Carrie.
Wow.
Number seven, The Escape Plan. Number eight, 12 Years a Slave. Number nine, Enough Said. And number 10, Prisoners.
Wow. Some upsets there this week, man. Is this one of those weeks where you have the top 900? Oh, it's too bad. I always enjoy hearing, and blah, blah, blah made $1.50 this week.
Oh, I'm going to look it up now.
How cool.
Just because I originally read it off the website. When I do it on my phone, I get all of them. So, loading.
I'm assuming Carrie is kind of a bomb. Like all the hype that movie got for the last year. Especially at Halloween time, I thought I was just going to clean up.
Yeah.
Oh, well, stick to hit girl, I guess, Chloe Grace Moretz.
Yeah.
So you're on the IMDb looking up the top 9,000 list that we sometimes get.
Come on. At the bottom of the box office this week. Come on. The Act of Killing.
Act of Killing.
$64.
Wow.
It's a documentary from 2012. Apparently, it has a salt and pepper. I don't know what's playing this music. Make it stop.
Yeah, please.
I don't know where this is coming from because the movie is a documentary that challenges former Indonesian death squad leaders to reenact their real-life mass killings in which... whichever cinematic genres they wish, including classic Hollywood crime scenarios and lavish musical numbers.
We both make more money in a shift than that movie made.
Just above that was Broadway Idiot this week with $199.
Wow.
That is the Billy Joe Armstrong
Green movie. Day?
Broadway Idiot follows Green Day's Billy Joe Armstrong from a punk rock concert at Madison Square Garden to the opening of his musical American Idiot on Broadway. Only 10 blocks away, but worlds apart. From behind the curtain, share in the crazy journey of turning the mega hit album into a punk rock musical and ultimately see how the world of theater transformed Billy Joe.
Wow.
That actually looks like it would be interesting.
Yeah, I'd watch it if it was on TV. I like music movies, so... All right. Cool. That's your box office. So let me just hit you real quick with this week's birthdays. And celebrating a birthday Monday, October 28th, is our daughter's favorite doctor, Matt Smith.
Aww.
The two more appearances to go. And then he's done. We also have Zoe Palmer from Lost Girl. And Chris Bauer, who you might remember as Andy Belflore on True Blood.
Aww.
And his Fairy Babies. I guess we didn't watch it this year to see that, so.
We did not watch the Fairy Babies this year. You're right.
Oh, geez. So on Tuesday, October 29th, it's Dan Castellaneta, Homer Simpson.
Homer Simpson.
Also on a great Stargate episode where he linked minds with Jack O'Neill. So check that one out someday. It's also Kate Jackson's birthday from not only Charlie's Angels, but I'm sure your mom also watched Scarecrow and Mrs. King in the 80s.
As did I, because I love Bruce Boxleitner.
I remember the theme song.
Scarecrow and Mrs. King.
Solving crimes. It's also Janet Montgomery's birthday. She was Ames on Human Target. Remember, I loved her.
Oh, yes, I do.
Oh, it's an Ames. Awesome. On Wednesday, October 30th, possibly the nicest celebrity we ever met. I grew up idolizing this guy at Happy Days, Henry Winkler.
Oh, he's awesome.
Very nice man. Also was an executive producer on MacGyver.
So there you go.
Also, Matthew Morrison from Glee.
Mr. Shue.
I'm hating Mr. Shue this season, and I've watched one episode. Just want to point that out there. On Halloween, director Peter Jackson's birthday, Ron Rifkin, who was Arvin Sloan on Alias. And wasn't he Uncle Dave on Brothers and Sisters?
Yes, he was.
I don't know why I remember that. And a guy I used to watch in the late 80s, early 90s on a show called Wise Guy, Ken Wall, is celebrating a birthday as well. On November 1st, it's Toni Collette and someone you like, Jenny McCarthy. She was in basketball. She's geeky. And on November 2nd, we have David Schwimmer from, he was Ross on Friends, and I think he was the giraffe in Madagascar. If not, he was the zebra. I don't remember. Also, Maricel Nichols. She was not only on the terrible 24 season with Ricky Schroeder, she was the head of CTU, but you might remember her as Audrey Griswold from Vegas Vacation.
You might.
You might. On November the 3rd, celebrating a birthday is Dolph Lundgren. He was, of course, in The Expendables, Rocky IV, and The Punisher. It is also Sticky Fingers' birthday. He was Blade on the Blade TV show that lasted a year on Spike. Also, Mrs. Steven Spielberg, Kate Capshaw, who did nothing but scream in Temple of Doom. And Ken Berry. He was on Mama's Family. Aww. He was Vinton. And do you remember he was on the Brady Bunch? They were trying to spin off a family who adopted three boys of different races. Kelly's Kids, I think the spinoff was going to be. Didn't pick up. They didn't do it. No. Sorry, Ken Berry. That's this week's Geek Birthdays for you.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. When we come back, it's Geek Calendar time, so you don't want to miss that. Stay tuned.
Hold on, true believers. There's more We Got the Geek after these words.
Kristen Hunter is a Canadian artist specializing in polymer clay creations. Kristen is a geek at heart, and most of her creations are nerd-themed. She makes everything from Captain America earrings to video game-inspired necklaces and everything else in between. Check out Kristen's amazing work at www.wasabeads.com or visit her Facebook group, Wasabeads Custom Creations.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to this week's Geek News with J. Stu and K. Stu. And right now, it's that time of the week where K. Stu gives you all the stuff you should read and buy and watch on this week's Geek Calendar. Take it away, K-Stu.
On Tuesday, October 29th, new on DVD and Blu-ray, we have Inspector Gadget Saves Christmas. we have Monsters University, RIPD, and the documentary Springsteen and I.
Yeah, that was actually in theaters for one day, and I forget why we couldn't go.
Why is it Springsteen and I? Why isn't it Springsteen and me?
I don't know. I didn't make it, but it's... fans sharing why they love Springsteen, and I think there's a mini concert at the end of the credits with him and Paul McCartney.
In cinemas, July 22nd.
Okay. Cool. So, definitely being a Springsteen fan, I'll be checking that out. Maybe on a possible future.
2 hours and 4 minutes.
Yeah. Talk about that on a upcoming movie review show.
So, Wednesday, October 30th, we have a new episode of Arrow, and Oliver discovers a man who goes by the name The Mayor is bringing illegal guns into the Glades. It's also new comic book day, so let's check out the comic book list.
Well, let's start off with one that I don't read, but everybody loves. Saga number 15 from Image Comics. There's a couple on the cover. Coupling.
The tagline says everything starts coming together.
I see what they did there.
I didn't know if that just meant it was getting to the end.
That's very popular. Everybody loves it. So, one that Hunter and I will rave about any chance we get. Superior Spider-Man issue 20. Where Spider-Man, also known as Doc Ock, has his first meeting with the Black Cat, who was intimate with Peter Parker back in the day. We also have Avengers 22, Infinity 5, that's a 6-part miniseries, Guardians of the Galaxy 8, ooh, the final part of X-Men Battle of the Atom, which was the crossover from the last 8 weeks of X-Men stories. Uncanny X-Force 13. First issue of Damien, Son of Batman, which is I don't know, something I'm going to have to check out, considering he just died earlier in the year. The Sandman, Overture Number 1. That's A New Adventure of the Sandman by Neil Gaiman. That was the big selling comic he had in the 90s, so it's a sequel to that.
25 years since the Sandman changed the landscape of modern comics.
Wow. That's cool. We also have Green Lantern Annual Number 2, which is the final part of Lights Out. Kick-Ass 3 Number 4. Superior Spider-Man Team-Up Special Number 1. Deadpool Kills Deadpool Issue 4. First issue of Forever Evil Argus. I believe that's the Steve Trevor miniseries. Couple of number one annuals. We have Aquaman Annual 1 and Nightwing Annual 1. And this one could be the end of the Ultimate Universe. Cataclysm Issue 0.1 kind of makes me feel sad because you and I were reading Ultimate Spider-Man back in 1999. You tracked down the first issue for me. Final issue of that came out last week, which was sad.
Sorry, honey.
Rumor has it, though, they're going to move Miles Morales over into the regular Marvel Universe, which would be cool. Yeah. Also, we have Ultimate Comics X-Men 33. I think that's going to be ending as well. Also, Scarlet Spider 23. One more month to go before that series ends. But that's okay, because he's moving over to the New Warriors with Nova. What else, Case 2?
Punisher, Trial of the Punisher number 2. Captain America, Living Dead number 2. Thor, The Crown of Fools number 1. Action Comics Annual number 2. Itty Bitty Hellboy number 3.
Great series.
The Game of Thrones number 17. What else? Black Dynamite, number 1. He's a powder keg of Black Fury that's about to explode. The baddest Kung Fu cat ever to appear on screen is coming to comics, so you suckers better duck.
Good description.
All right. what else we got here? Teen Titans Annual, number 2. Adventure Time 2013, Spooktacular, number 1.
Just in time for Halloween.
G.I. Joe, number 9. The Powerpuff Girls, number 2. And One for One, Baltimore Plague Ships.
Okay.
Okay.
From Dark Horse.
Just waiting for my computer to react here. Opening up the next page.
Ah, the ballet.
Ash and the Army of Darkness, number 1. Danger Girl, The Chase, number 2. Dinosaurs Attack, number 4. Ghost Cop, number 1. My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic, number 12. Smallville, Season 11, Special, number 3. Star Wars Dark Times, A Spark Remains, number 4. And what else?
Astounding Villain House.
That's from Dark Horse Comics. Four Hysterical Tales of Failed Bank Robberies, Bad Dates, Doomed Team-Ups, and Ruined Empires. Hero Bearing Kid 2013 Annual Number 1. Simpsons Illustrated Number 8. The Bionic Man Number 25.
Wow, it's been 2 years since I collected that?
Yep.
Cool.
And to the end of the list now.
End of the list we go. Oh, Archie Double Digest, 245. It's pretty sad when that's one of the higher numbered titles. Hellraiser Annual 2013 from Boom Studios. My Little Pony 2013 Annual 1 featuring the Equestria Girls.
Diana's very excited about that, actually.
She very much is, yeah.
Kiss Kids, issue 3. It's the little kid versions of course, Gene Simmons and the gang. Go figure. Kid also loves that one. And Wild Work, number 1.
From Antarctic Press.
Cool.
In 1888, Professor Abraham Van Helsing pursues Count Dracula into the American West. Wooden stakes and spurs, silver bullets and 6 guns, side by side. Bullets fly. There's hell on earth around every hitching post.
All right.
Okay, then.
A lot of different comics to check out this week, so head out to your comic book store, show your support, and get to reading.
Yep. And then Thursday is Halloween. Friday, November 1st, in theaters, we have Ender's Game. I know Kristen is extremely excited about that one.
Yeah, I love Harrison Ford, but I think I'm going to wait to see this one.
Last Vegas. I don't need to see that.
No.
And Freebirds, which looks hilarious. And then Sunday, November 3rd, we have an all-new Walking Dead. The supply mission faces hurdles, and the situation at the prison worsens. And all I have to say is if they kill Glenn, I'm not going to watch it anymore.
Oh, it's so good. That's so what good. I'm saying. Well, I hope they don't kill Glenn, but it's so good this year. Like, Daryl is kicking ass again. But if they kill
Glenn, I'm not watching it anymore.
All right.
I don't know if you know this.
But if they kill Glenn.
If they kill Glenn, I'm just not even going to watch anymore.
No more viewing from Gaze, dude. And, of course, we have a new Comic Book Men and Talking Dead as well. No Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this week.
Oh.
It'll be back next week.
Okay, then.
All right, so lots to do this week, lots to check out. So, get to watching.
And if they kill Glenn, I'll have a lot less to do on a Sunday.
Oh, good time.
I'll have a free hour every Sunday if they kill Glenn. I'll still watch The Talking Dead.
Okay. Oh, you're silly.
Or I just love Glenn.
That's cool.
I love Glenn with my whole heart. They can't kill Glenn.
They killed Andrea, and I'm still watching.
Oh, you're dumb.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, so that's it. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Have a great week. We'll catch you next week right here on the Geek News. So take care, everybody.
Thanks for listening. To hear more We Got the Geek, check us out at www.wegotthegeek.com and on iTunes.